And maybe AI can be used as well to get more, help more people to appreciate what it is to be human. In the same way that when we saw, you know, we look at robots and, like, say, Star Trek, we look at Spock and we feel sorry for him because, you know, he doesn't have emotions and feelings.
Is that what it means to be human?
Yes. My own understanding of the joy of being human is that we have feelings and emotions, and that's something that I don't believe AI can achieve. The only thing we need to be wary of is the speed at which it develops, because we as a species have evolved over thousands of years, and as a species, but recently we've had the agricultural revolution, which evolved fairly slowly. Then the industrial revolution evolved even faster, and then the technology revolution absolutely accelerated. And I see that AI is going to be developing at such an exponential rate that it's going to be hard to keep track of. And that's where I can see we need to be respectful in terms of how we are introduced to the technology.
Hello, welcome back. It's Shamash here and
Calvin.
Good friend Calvin and my other very good friend, Trevor Murphy. Hi, Trevor.
Hi, Shamash. Hi, Calvin.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing really, really well. It's just so wonderful. I'm so happy to be with you guys here at Kenwood, which is one of my most favourite places to be in the whole world.
Why is that?
Well, that's a very good question, Calvin. A lot is to do with the fact that it's on my doorstep. I've always lived in North London pretty well my whole life, and it's been a big part of my life from when I was a child. I spent a lot of time on Hampstead Heath. And Kenwood is particularly special, one reason being that my dear grandmother's ashes are under a beech tree here in Kenwood. So it has very sort of very personal significance. But also, it's a place I used to come to seek privacy, quiet and solitude. At one time, you couldn't get a phone signal here. So I used to actually really enjoy coming here deliberately to just get peace and quiet, just to do some quiet meditation.
Well, how do you feel about this whole seemingly coming into this age of AI, and what are your thoughts and feelings about just the concept of AI?
So this is what interests me in particular, is that there seems to be more and more fear around AI. Mm-hmm. And this is something that really interests me, because being highly spiritual, I'm very interested in how fear is used to manipulate humanity. Fear is an acronym for false evidence appearing real. Now, as we know, anything can be turned around. So anything can be viewed either positively or negatively. And what particularly interests me is that AI seems to be being given a bad press.
Yeah.
And I'm very interested in the idea of looking at all the positive stories around AI. And I think that would in itself make a fascinating book or a series to look at all the positive aspects of AI. For example, there was a man recently on Radio 4 who was saying how he was severely dyslexic and therefore not able to communicate with people in the normal way that we all take for granted. And he said AI has totally transformed his life, because he can now write as he does, put it into the computer, and it spits it back out in a way that everyone can understand. Wow. And he said his life is now completely transformed through AI. Yeah. And that was for me the first very powerful positive story I heard about AI. Mm. So to recap, I'm interested in the idea that fear is being focused upon with AI. And it's the same that happened with the internet when the internet first came about.
Yeah.
A lot of people said, hang on, this is opening Pandora's box.
Yeah.
Where is it going to lead? And a lot of people focused on all the negative aspects of the internet. I would like to think that generally most people believe now it's a good thing. That's my general feeling, that most people now accept that the internet is a it can be used entirely positively. We know it can be used negatively, but it's mainly, I would say, a positive tool for humanity. And I think the same will happen with AI. There's skepticism at the beginning, but I think it can only help benefit humanity. But obviously it needs to be treated with respect, and we should. So the only thing we need to be wary of is the speed at which it develops, because we as a species have evolved over thousands of years and as a species, but recently we've had the agricultural revolution, which evolved fairly slowly. Then the industrial revolution evolved even faster, and then the technology revolution absolutely accelerated. And I see that AI is going to be developing at such an exponential rate that it's going to be hard to keep track of. And that's where I can see we need to be respectful in terms of how we are introduced to the technology. So I don't know if does that answer the
question? Yeah, that's fascinating, yeah. You started off that kind of line of thinking on creativity, actually. You said someone, you know, created some artwork using AI, another person creating writing through AI. So, and you're leaning towards the positive aspects of AI.
Yeah.
So do you think AI will encourage people to be creative, or do you think it will make people, because, you know, I've seen videos of people, they're like, oh no, it can create all this amazing art, so what's the point of me doing art? You know, how do you feel about that whole realm of AI being creative?
I have to say, this is actually something I had a conversation with a friend about recently, to do with sacred geometry. And now, sacred geometry, we know, can be reproduced by computers very, very accurately. But there's something in the physical process of drawing sacred geometry that has a healing aspect.
Interesting.
So there is a physical process that is involved. Now, the immediate analogy that comes to mind here is to do with smiling. So if we force ourselves to smile, so we may be feeling a bit miserable.
Okay.
But if we, Calvin, Schumacher now, both
Calvin and
just grinning at me like Cheshire Cat.
Yeah.
If we force ourselves to smile, it has a backwards effect, doesn't it? It actually physically makes us feel happy.
Yeah, we just started laughing for no reason.
We just started laughing because we made ourselves smile, even though there was nothing directly to smile about. So there's
lots of smile.
There's lots of, sorry, yeah. I didn't mean that. So here we go. So you guys know this is what happens. The joy. So when you physically upturn your mouth and smile, you then feel happier that we were all laughing now together. So there's something in the physical process. So I'm very passionate about how it's very important that we are physically creative. But I believe we can use AI as an additional tool. I don't think we should just hand over completely to computer technology for our creative journey. But I believe we can use it as a tool and work alongside it. So, so yes, that would be my feeling. And there's so many people I know who lack confidence creatively. And certainly, like, for example, with writing, and like our friend Augusto, bless him, you know, he's from Brazil, so English isn't his first language. So he's written, when he writes in English, he can now put it into AI and it immediately improves. That's giving him more confidence. In fact, we did a reading recently, he wrote a piece recently and he put it into for AI. And then everyone in the group, they didn't know he had used AI, were saying how impressed they were with his writing. And he didn't admit that it was AI. I knew, but he didn't admit. He didn't say, oh, that was actually AI. But, you know, it was very noticeable that everyone in the group was impressed by the language skills. So So that's a very positive thing because it's giving him more confidence. He can now do more writing in his non-native language, English, and progress as a creative writer, creative thinker. So with painting, like Shamash yourself, you know, I'm not sure if you've probably spoken about it. I was blown away by the stuff you showed me that you've been doing on AI. And I immediately said, I think the first piece you showed me, I said, well, you could have a whole exhibition, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't see it as a threat. I see it as a plus, as a bonus. Yeah. And it's the other analogy I would use is when photography first came in, a lot of people thought that would take away from the skills of artists who previously were painting in a realistic way. But actually, if you think about it, so we have these classic painters who are, like say Caravaggio, who are painting super realistic scenes. But I think the artists that I'm much more impressed with are people like Van Gogh, who are painting from the heart, and the impressionist painters, who are painting an impression that's more to do with their heart. Now.
Question.
Yeah.
What would Van Gogh say now if somebody asked him to use AI to support his work? What do you think he would say?
My feeling is, from what I know of Van Gogh, which is through his letters, the letters he wrote to his brother Theo. So I've read all the letters that were between Theo and Vincent, and he would not be remotely interested in AI, because he was using art to as a release for his own tortured kind of state of mind and his emotional condition. So he needed to literally paint. That was his therapy. And that's something I'm also passionate about. I believe art is and can be very beneficial for people's well-being. And I don't think AI would necessarily aid with art as a creative kind of well-being process. I'm not sure that that's possible. But I think in terms of AI assisting people with their creative journey, then it can be very positive. Yeah.
Now, something we've talked about earlier about the creative process and how perhaps human beings, their creativity would not be on the same level, or maybe not even visually beautiful as what a human being would create, or maybe the AI would make something more beautiful. Process of creativity is very healing and very important.
Yes, the process. And it's a physical process that I think is necessary. In the same way that, like, we're all now physically walking across the heath. And there's so many benefits to that that you couldn't approach just by watching a film of, say, three people walking across the heath.
Yeah.
You might in some way feel a connection with those people.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, we all know that there's a big difference between reading a book, watching a movie, and physically enjoying an experience.
Yeah.
We're very clear about that. So AI couldn't possibly substitute for, as it were, the real thing, but it can contribute to the experience.
So just one question about that process you talked about, the process being important for healing, the process just being important generally. You know, I watched, I think it was called Air, a film about how recently Michael Jordan was signed by Nike back in the 80s. And the founder of Nike at the time was like, we're a running company. And he was really making a case for being a proponent of running. But he said something interesting because he was also a practicing Zen Buddhist or something.
Yes.
And he said, the thing people don't understand about running, and I'm paraphrasing here.
Yes.
Is that they think getting to that finishing tape and running through the tape is the goal of running.
Yes.
Actually, running itself is the goal.
Yes.
So once you get on your running shoes and you start doing the running, you're already there.
You've already arrived.
You have already arrived.
Yes.
But this is what's emerging, because we interviewed a Dharma teacher at Plum Village who said that, you know, there are some really potential upsides for AI. One of them being that we could accelerate our meditation process. We could potentially maybe download into our brains patterns of successful meditation from somebody who's already been there.
Yeah.
And then in some ways then, that's less about the process and more about the goal.
More about, yes, I see. Yes.
How would you differentiate the difference between the importance of the process being the goal and the goal being the goal? And where does that, where does AI come into that?
Yes, that's a great question. Thank you, Calvin. Great question. And being, as you said at the beginning, I am very, very spiritual. And so much spiritual teaching is to do with understanding that it's always about the journey, not the destination.
Right.
So that's a big part of our spiritual learning. Is because, as you know, we're brought up in a society which is very goal-orientated.
Yeah.
Right from the beginning, we're, even as children, we're, you know, even at a very young age, we're given tests or exams.
Yeah.
So it's not about the study, it's about the marks we're going to achieve when we take the test or the exam. And that's training us for the work machine, if you like, that we all become a part of to create and be involved with the society that we live within. So my feeling is that as much as it's important to have a goal, because that can be the incentive we need, it actually is never about the goal. It is about the journey. And the physical journey itself is the most important aspect. And AI can help us with the journey, and it can give us the confidence that we need to motivate us to take, you know, to go forward with the journey. But I would strongly say that the destination is very unimportant. Does that answer the question? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's really helpful, that perspective. Especially as it pertains to creativity and the difference between the creative process for its own sake and the output that comes out of the creative process. So that's interesting.
Yes, I mean, it's interesting because we were talking, weren't we, about the books that we've all been working on collectively. We've all individually worked on books. And although, you know, we obviously all knew that we were going to be producing a book and that we'd have something physical and tangible at the end, but actually what we all collectively spoke of was how much we were enjoying the process.
Yeah.
And the fun we had from actually just creatively collaborating, the co-creation as well, which is another thing to talk about, because I think there's something very magical about working with someone else or even with a team. And that's something that obviously AI can't, I don't believe AI can, what will be beneficial in that sense. So for example, a film director will really enjoy the whole process of working with a team of actors, musicians, editors. And it's the whole process that the film director is excited about. Now, if you're just, my profession used to be animation, and strangely, animation can be very isolating, because as an animator, you can take charge of the whole process yourself. But it's actually a very lonely existence, and it can be quite soul-destroying. And a lot of my friends who were animators used to say how tough it would be to make a film where they're just, you know, on their own, and they're on their own every day. It's a very isolating, lonely experience. All three of us are highly sociable, and we enjoy you know, other people's company. And we've all enjoyed the co-creative process. So AI kind of deprives us of that. So that, I mean, that's something I hadn't really thought about till just now with this interview.
So if you were animating right now, if you were still a professional animator,
yes,
would you be using AI? And what processes would you want to use them for? And what processes would you avoid? Especially as you consider that the process is super important, but
yes,
the actual animation itself, i.e. the goal or output, is also important. Yes. Where would you draw that distinction yourself?
Yes, good question. There's, funnily enough, I can answer that with a personal project I have that I've had for many, many years that is super complex. It's incredibly complicated. So in the same way that James Cameron couldn't have created Avatar until the time he could because there wasn't the technology available, there's a project
example,
there's, yeah, yeah. There's a project that I have visualized for quite a long time that requires, or I know could be achieved, oh my word, we've got a bit of a sandstorm there, that could be achieved with AI. And it's a blend of hand-drawn animation, dance, and music, but all working together. So, for example, let me just, I don't know how many of the listeners will know about cymatics, but cymatics is a science that shows the relationship between sound and sacred geometric patterns. And this is something that AI will be able to do really, really well. And I'm not sure who's yet exploring this, but I'm sure someone somewhere in a university is doing it. And so I would, in fact, welcome the opportunity to make this film that's highly personal. And interestingly, just as an aside, I believe would have a healing aspect because I am passionate about how sacred geometry, when it's animated, could be used for healing. That's a particular interest that I have. So yes, I'm looking forward to, at some point, working with AI to develop healing animation.
It's funny that we're talking here right now because we're just passing through the road of Vale of Heath. Yes, Vale of Health. Sorry, the Vale of Health.
That's right.
Yeah, and we're talking about health and healing and how.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. True.
What about the whole area, because we love these different C's that seem to be linked up with human beings, and another C that comes up is compassion. So do you think AI can help us to be more compassionate and kind to each other? And if so, how would it go about doing that?
Compassion is so important in terms of well-being.
Yeah.
And it's something that is unfortunately lacking generally on a big scale. We know that the Dalai Lama talks about compassion a lot. I think he says that's part of his religion. I think he says kindness is his religion, but also compassion.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's not discussed enough in society, certainly in the West. And so wouldn't it be amazing to have AI be used to somehow show us the benefits of compassion? So maybe there's a way that AI could be used. So for example, because we all relate to our own personal stories, don't we? So in terms of any kind of education, any kind of transformation, it's much more effective if it relates to a personal story. So what AI could do is to, if we could give a certain amount of information about ourselves and even maybe tell one or two stories that have meaning for us, maybe AI could insert compassion into those stories and retell the story in a different way that includes compassion, which may bring about a different outcome to the end of the story. Shamash and I just did the book together, Wit and Wisdom. So Shamash wrote 42 individual short stories that all had made an impact on your life. Now, maybe some of those stories is compassion isn't included, So AI could immediately insert compassion into the story and retell it.
I mean, AI is used in meditation apps to select what's the next meditation for you. People believe that AI may be used to create guided meditations. There's AI apps that are kind of like therapists for people almost, so you can actually chat to an AI to help nudge you towards better mental health, for example. How do you feel about all that? AI creating this content that helps you to be more mindful or more kind and compassionate. How do you feel about it?
I obviously do. I'm really happy about that. I love that. Because, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, anything that could help make well-being literature more accessible has got to be a good thing. So, and I mean, for example, I was having a conversation with someone I've only just met recently who suffers from anxiety and was interested in mindfulness. And I mentioned The Power of Now. Now, if we hadn't met, that book may have continued to have stayed on her shelf and she may never have picked it up again. Now, I don't know whether it's going to have a benefit on her this time or not, but AI, I would say, would increase the chances of us finding a piece of literature that would resonate with us.
I mean, some people would argue that Amazon does that. It probably uses AI to, when you purchase a book, it sort of recommends other books. But maybe it's leaning more towards optimizing how much money they make optimizing a spiritual journey.
Yes, rather than spiritual journey.
What about the whole realm of consciousness? Because you're into spirituality and consciousness is very much linked to that whole world. Do you think AI could become conscious, become a being, like human beings, potentially?
I do have a very clear opinion about that. And so my own, as a spiritual person, I believe we are all individually highly sophisticated biological robots. So we're both part machine and part organic in our structure. And the AI is basically replacing or can be working alongside our brain. And in terms of being a gigantic computer, but the part that I'm most interested in is the soul the heart and soul of who we are, which is not at all connected to a computer system or an artificial intelligence system. So we are, our soul, our spirit, is entirely, how do I describe it? Actually, it's very good. This is challenging, actually, how to put this into words, but is all based on consciousness, which is in the world of quantum physics, it's known as the field, which is omnipresent. Okay. So everything that we know or understand is the field, and we are all an aspect of the field. And so AI is just a process which allows us to have an alternative experience. And so for that, we can all be grateful. I believe that what the experience we're all having now as human beings is one of multiple different experiences we can choose to have. And AI could allow us to have even more experiences.
Maybe it's not such a bad thing if humans become extinct.
Oh, now that's a very profound question. I personally have thought about this a lot, because in fact I can be very open here. This is a very personal story, but there was one very significant experience I had where I was given the choice to let go of, let's put it this way, I was given the choice of calmly and peacefully letting go of what it is to be human and return to my spiritual aspect. And it was, for a few minutes, terrifying. I remember it vividly and always will. For a few minutes, it was terrifying, the idea of letting go of being human. But very, very quickly, it was also exhilarating, because I then was being given the choice, essentially, to stay or go. And I thought, wow, actually, there's nothing more I want than to continue the experience of being human. It's an absolute privilege. It's a joy. And it made me even more grateful for the experience of being a human than I'd ever previously known or understood. So, you know how people who do dangerous sports like mountaineering, what have you, and we all think they're crazy, you know, and like these people, they're called free climbers, who climb up sheer rock face without a rope, without a harness.
I thought they're going to get charged for it.
I'm glad we laughed. I was just realizing we're getting a bit serious for a while.
No,
free climbing. We think they're crazy, but they all say that they never feel more alive than when they're going up this sheer rock face. They never feel more alive, you know, and that's kind of becomes addictive, you know. And I had the similar experience when I was momentarily given the opportunity to let go. It was a spiritual experience, and I thought, wow. And it wasn't dramatic. I wasn't on a cliff edge, you know. Wow, actually, I really love being human. I love my family, I love my friends, I love everything. And I just embraced everything, aspect of being human even more. So to answer your question, Calvin, I say actually, we're hopefully a good amount of people are very grateful to be human and enjoying the experience. And maybe AI can be used as well to get more, help more people to appreciate what it is to be human. In the same way that when we saw, you know, we look at robots and like say Star Trek, we look at Spock and we feel sorry for him because, you know, he doesn't have emotions and feelings.
Is that what it means to be human?
Yes. My own understanding of the joy of being human is that we have feelings and emotions, and that's something that I don't believe AI can achieve. So yes, that's actually, thank you, you've helped me to answer the question. That's something where AI cannot, it can imitate through creativity, but it can't actually know what it is to be human in terms of feelings and emotions. Thoughts, yes, but not feelings and emotions. That's something that is unique to humans.
So AI, in your mind, from a consciousness point of view, is it can help us to embrace being human if we want to.
Yes.
But also it's not a prerequisite. Like, we could experience the ego death. You didn't say ego death. I'm putting words in your mouth. Yeah. But you could experience non-self-identity as well.
Yes.
If you want.
Yes.
So potentially we might have two species left on the planet.
Yes.
Interesting.
Wow. Last question that comes to my mind is actually about community and connection. They found through research that when you use social media a lot, which also uses AI, as people spend more time on it, they feel more lonely, they feel more disconnected. And then people chat to these chatbots, these AI chatbots, and they feel as if they've got this connection, even though it's not a real human being. I don't know, how do you feel about all this? And do you think AI can ever help human beings to connect more?
Yes, that's a really, really good question. And there's an amazing film, which is called, is it She or Her? I can't remember if it's two films, She or Her, about a man who has a relationship with his personal assistant, his AI. I think it's called She. Yeah. It's an absolutely brilliant film, and it's totally believable and realistic, where a man has a personal assistant, totally AI, and he builds a very strong relationship with her. And what is magical about her is she's available 24/7, so he often wakes up in the night and he can have a conversation. She's always available. And
is that what he wants to do when he wakes up in the middle of the night? Doesn't sound like a man.
No. Yes, he wants companionship. But I mean, this is a spoiler, but it's actually really, I think, relevant. He actually falls in love with her, and he becomes, if you like, dependent upon her. And then And then he asks her a question and he says, are you helping anyone else? And she tells him the number of people that she's connected with. And wow. It's like thousands.
Wow.
And it's so powerful. And he literally, it's like his heart is completely broken because he believed she was unique to him. And even though he knew she was AI, he felt that she was only there for him. And he was completely distraught at the idea she was helping others. So I found that really, really fascinating. But to answer your question, that kind of does answer the question because, but basically, I know in Japan at the moment, there's a very big market because there's so many lonely men and women who are not only relying on AI for conversations, but they're also now the AI is being built into the dolls effectively. So the dolls now are taking on almost completely human form. And that's something that's becoming an expanding business in Japan. But here I heard a documentary recently about how AI is being used to help loneliness. And it's having, according to the tests that have been conducted so far, it's having a very beneficial effect on people who are lonely because it is giving them companionship. But I believe it's a poor substitute for actually having a relationship with another human being. I don't think anything can really replace that of another human being. And although, like during the pandemic, we all experienced loneliness because we were all forced to be isolated and we could only communicate through the telephone and through Zoom. And in my own experience as someone who's highly sociable, I found that it helped to a certain degree. But all I can say to you is as soon as we were allowed back into the physical contact, I just felt this enormous sense of relief and release as well. And I just realized that I had been suffering as a result of not having one-to-one human contact. So it was made abundantly clear to me that nothing can compete with real physical contact, one-to-one. And I don't see how AI can come close to replacing that.
Thanks for listening to our latest episode of Mindful Conversations. Join me and Shamash in the next episode as we explore with a new guest the potential impact of AI on the future human story. It's been a thought-provoking journey for us, and hopefully it will challenge your perceptions and also spark curiosity. If you liked what you heard, then please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform, subscribe, share this with someone who you think would enjoy the show, and if you have any questions for us or comments, email us at connect@mindfulcombo.com. Bye for now.